I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise. They won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth shall harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portals. Come home, my child, it's the last mile you must trod. I'll fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven, sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise. They won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth shall harm me. Sheltered safe within the arms of God. Yes, I'm safe within the arms of God.
And if you take your Bibles out this evening, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 17. I definitely enjoyed the 50 days of focus. I don't know about you. These last couple weeks, we've really just gone through the life of Jesus. And going through the life of Jesus, I was talking to my parents about it last night. When you go through the life of Jesus, it's so contrary to a lot of things we hear in the church world. A lot of times, I was talking to a man I've been working with last month and a half or so. He came to church about a month ago, and he told me, gave me permission. He's like, come back and see me. I need to get in church and things like that. And he grew up in church, and he was talking to me, and he said, you know what really turned me away was I was in these churches, and they were all about people trying to exalt themselves. And it was, I was going to these churches, and they were political, and it was all about themselves. It was all about trying to get their name out, speaking of different people, and people were rich. It was all about how much money I had. And I was thinking about that man last night as I was reading the life of Jesus in the book of Luke. And Jesus is saying things like, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And we get to Matthew chapter 17, we see the power of Jesus. There's another passage we're going to look at. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, we're just going to look at one verse in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 verse number 6. For all you Packers fans out there, I hope you guys wipe the tears out of your eyes before you guys came to church tonight. Because I talked to a few of you out there the last couple weeks, and it was a guarantee they're winning the whole thing. My, oh my, you guys were in for a treat. Amen. Maybe Peyton wasn't playing this year, but Eli sure was playing this afternoon, I'll tell you that. All right, Matthew chapter 17. My dad will be back here. He'll be back here Wednesday night. The outline in your bulletin, you can try to follow it, but you're going to have a hard time because my message is not the message in the bulletin. So I found out I was preaching Friday night, and I hope this will be a blessing to you. Let's all stand together. We'll read Matthew 17 first of all. Many say it can't be done, but Jesus says something different. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 17, verse number 14, When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, it's always good when we come to the presence of Christ to kneel. Coming down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Now that's a problem. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus gave his apostles power to heal people. We're Matthew chapter 17. Not the brightest guy, but 17 comes after 10. And they've already been given the power. So I wonder how come they can't do it. We're going to find out. The Bible says in verse number 17, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Why couldn't we do it? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. If you want to take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11, keep your finger in Matthew 17. That's going to be the main text, Matthew chapter 17 tonight. But Hebrews chapter 11 has a very important verse, verse number 6, in our Christian life. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 verse 6, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For without faith it is impossible. Jesus says, God says very clearly, no faith, no honoring Christ. Tonight, what are you doing in faith? Father, we need your help. Lord, we need you to come meet with us tonight. Jesus, your words are so powerful. Your words are so life-changing. And Christ, I pray we would have faith, Lord, not in a social system, not in a presidential candidate, but faith in the only one that can bring the change, and that's you, Jesus. Meet with us tonight, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Matthew chapter 17, there's a great problem. And after the great problem comes a great miracle. It's very interesting. You're not going to have a great miracle until first you have a great problem most of the time. Every time we have problems in our life, oftentimes we get upset and we say, man, what should we do? But every time we have a great problem, it's an opportunity for the Holy Spirit of God or the Lord to do a great miracle in our life. Peter, James, and John in the early part of Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 6, they had gone up to the mountain of transfiguration, and Jesus had been transfigured in front of them. Later on in Matthew chapter 17, going to where we are today, there's a man and his son is very ill. There's a man and his son is possessed, and he needs some help. He needs some way his son can be healed. He goes to the disciples of Christ, and they cannot do it. And there's a problem. There's a reason why they could not do it. Because they did not believe. God only works through people that believe God can really work. God only works through people that believe God can really work. If you don't believe God can do it, don't worry, he won't. If we don't believe that God can do it, we don't have to worry because he won't do it. These men in Matthew chapter 17 had come to a pinnacle in their life. Peter, James, and John, the three apostles that were close to Christ, they had gone to a pinnacle where they had just seen Christ transfigured. They had just seen the glory of God revealed to them, part of it, not all of his glory, but part of it. And now you would think their faith would be so strong coming off of that point that they could do anything. But they didn't have the faith. The Niagara River drops 180 feet at the American and Horseshoe Falls. Right above the falls, right before the river drops off, there's some big-time rapids. Above the rapids, right before the rapids, you can be in a sailboat or in a boat, and you can kind of sail around a little bit. There's a pedestrian bridge that goes over that place where many sailboats are at. And on that pedestrian bridge, if you were to sail down that Niagara River, you could not miss the plaque on that bridge, and this is what the plaque says. Do you have an anchor? Do you know how to use it? Do you have an anchor? Do you know how to use it? In the Christian life, our faith is our anchor. And if we don't have faith, we are bound for spiritual shipwreck. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And without faith, it's impossible to move forward for God. I wonder, do we believe that God can do what He says He can do? Join us as we journey through Matthew 17 and see what could not be done because people did not believe. I see, first of all, the transforming power of Jesus Christ. The transforming power of Jesus Christ. The transforming power of God. In verses 1 through 6 of Matthew chapter 17, we see what Jesus did on the Mount of Transfiguration. I want us to think about God. I want us to think about who He really is tonight. This is a God that created the entire world from nothing. This is the God that created man from the dust. This is the God that took a rib that we have in our body and created a woman. This is a God that can take an old ugly caterpillar and turn it into a beautiful butterfly. We have a God that is in the transforming business. We have a God that wants to transform things. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, being confident of this very thing, that He which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. We cannot change ourselves. There's no such thing as this. There's no such thing as a self-made Christian. We cannot change ourselves. And this philosophy that we're getting from the world that says you can do it, you can do whatever you want. In the Christian life, that's a no-go. Because the Holy Spirit does the work. And might I say this, the Holy Spirit can do a far greater work than you can in your flesh. And the Bible says in Philippians that Christ does the work through us. That Christ transforms things. I see, first of all, Christ changes appearance. Verse number 5 of Matthew 17. While He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let's read verse number 2. And was transfigured before them, and His face did shine. He was changed. His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light. Jesus was revealing part of His glory to Peter, James, and John on that mountain. Nobody had ever seen this before. Nobody had seen Christ do this before, but He was revealing it to Peter, to James, and to John. The Bible says His face shined as the sun, and His clothes were white as raiment, or white as light. John, we read today in our 50 days of focus in John chapter 1, he goes back, he thinks about that in John chapter 1 verse 12. This is what he says, rather 14, and the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Peter, James, and John were invited to a sneak peek of the life of Jesus that nobody else was invited to. This was better than meeting a political candidate. This was better than watching a football game. This was better than going to a certain event where everybody's going crazy. This was getting to be on the intimate part of the life of Christ. I must introduce you to a couple people that have experienced the transforming power of Christ, a couple of people that they experience what the Holy Spirit can do in them. I was a madman. I lived in Gadara. I ran around the cemetery. I wore no clothes. They tried to chain me and I broke the fetters apart. I was possessed by 2,000 demons. Everywhere I go, I was uncontrollable. They tried to control me. But then it happened. Looking at the Sea of Galilee, a place where I often saw, I saw a ship come across. And on that ship, there was a man that I'd heard of before. His name was Jesus. Jesus came down off that ship. I can remember it to this day. And He came off that ship and He approached me. That day that Jesus came to me was life-changing. You can read about my story in Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5, verse 15, the people of the city that tried to bound me and saw me run around without clothes on, they came back. They saw me clothed. And in my right mind, I had experienced the power of Jesus. I'm the madman from Gadara. My name is Damaris. You can find my story in Acts chapter 17. I used to go to Mars Hill with my friends very often, where we would worship to the unknown God. We would go here and we would worship the many gods, the Greek gods that we heard about and our fathers told us about. I remember a man came. He was different. He was weird. His name was Paul. And he came to Mars Hill. And he said, "This is the unknown God that you worship." And he talked about a man named Jesus. I remember sitting in the group, and you can read in Acts chapter 17 my story. The Bible says, and it happened, I saw it. Some mocked him, and some said, "No, he's full of it." And there were others that said, "Let me think on this matter. This might be true." But for my life, I knew. I knew that who he talked about was real. I knew that when he talked about Jesus and what he did on the cross, I knew that was real. And just like Paul said, I put my trust in Jesus. My name is Dalamis. I've experienced the transforming power of God. My friend, when God transforms your life, when you experience the transforming power of God, God will bring about a call in your life. God will bring about, letter B, a call in your life. Verse number 5, I read it earlier, should have read it this time. The Bible says, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.'" Peter had an idea. Let's build a tabernacle for Moses, for Elijah, and for Jesus. Let's do it. Look, Elijah, Moses, Jesus, man, this is going to be great. But God had other plans. God had not called them to worship Moses, to worship Elijah. God had called them to follow Christ and follow Christ wholly. And this is what the Bible says, that God said, "Hey, this is my Son, hear him." God gave them a call. But notice how they responded. They responded, letter C, with complete submission. Verse number 6. "And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and they were sore afraid." When you experience God in a real way, it will bring about a submission. When you experience God, when God's word comes alive to you through this 50 days of focus, or maybe you have a God moment that's just unexplainable apart from the Holy Spirit of God, it's going to cause you to submit. It's going to cause you to say, "This is not of me, this is of you." Right here, Peter, James, and John, the Bible says that they hear God. He calls them. What do? They submit. I think the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, he knows a little bit about hearing the call of God. He said in Isaiah chapter 6, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Verse number 5, Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Also, I heard the voice of God saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.'" He was willing to go wherever God had called him to go after he experienced the power of God. After he had experienced God in his life. I think about Saul, Acts chapter 9, verse number 3. "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?' And he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" A man that once mocked God is on his face surrendering to God. How did that happen? Because he experienced God in a very real way. Let me say this. God is not hiding from you. God is not playing hide and go seek. God is not hiding behind your couch or hiding in some church building. No, God is waiting for you to seek him. God is waiting for you to seek his face. There was a young man that was born September 27th, 1805, in the Kingdom of Prussia. At the age of 10, he was stealing government money from his father. His father worked in the government, and his father had got his money. He was stealing that money from his father. At the age of 14, while his mother lay on her deathbed, he gambled and he drank alcohol at the age of 14. This was a man whose life was going nowhere. He was invited to a prayer meeting when he was in college, a Christian prayer meeting. And while he was in college, going forward, trying to do his own thing, he was invited to this prayer meeting, and he obliged and said he would go. That man's name is George Mueller. And George Mueller went from a man as a teenager that stole and that robbed and that did his own thing to a man that literally raised millions of dollars, not by standing behind a pulpit, but by kneeling on his knees. This is a man that experienced the transforming power of Jesus. Some of you in this room, before you were saved, you had some strongholds. Some of you, even as you were saved, you had some strongholds, and you've seen what Christ can do. My friend, we do not have a God that is not sitting up in heaven saying, go for it by yourself. We have a God that wants to transform us and a God that wants to change us. He's in the life-changing business. While the disciples had seen God's transforming power, Peter, James, and John, on the Mount of Transfiguration, they had an opportunity to transform somebody else's life, but they couldn't. There was a troubling problem, second of all. Verse number 13 of Matthew chapter 17 reveals the troubling problem. The Bible says, then the disciples understood that he spake to them of John the Baptist. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. You can go on and read if you would like. The fact of the matter is that this man came to the disciples and they couldn't heal him. They couldn't heal his son. There's a great need. If your son or your daughter or your friend or your loved one has a demon in them and it's being controlled by a demon and is sick and is going crazy, is a lunatic as the Bible calls it, that would be a problem. That would be a great problem. This man comes to Jesus and says, look, this is where my son is at. Look, this is what's going on. Can you do something? Here's a great problem. And remember, with every great problem comes a great opportunity for God to work. Not only was there a great problem, but there was a great necessity. There was a great necessity. Verse number 17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. The problem was that they didn't have enough faith to believe that God can do it. The problem was they were watching Fox News and CNN more than they were reading the Word of God. Amen and amen. The problem was that they were more concerned with the headlines of the New York Times than they were with what Jesus said in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The problem was that they cared more about a political candidate and they were looking for hope there rather than looking for hope by the God that created the world. The problem was that they had a distorted view of Jesus. They didn't have faith. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, the Bible says, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. Now check these words out. And healed all that were sick. Speaking of Jesus, Matthew 8, 16, and healed all that were sick. Jesus goes to a place, and everybody that's there got healed. Every single person was healed. Jesus goes to another place in Matthew 13, and he didn't heal hardly anybody. Matthew chapter 8, he heals about everybody, heals everybody. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 58, he tells us why he didn't heal these people. The Bible says he did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. You want to know the secret to Jesus working? Just believe that he can work. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. God is looking for people that will just believe that he can do what he says he can do. I don't care how big your problem is. I don't care what your work situation is. I don't care what family issue is going on. I'm saying this. We have a God that can do great works, but we have to believe. Matthew 28, verse 18, and he spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 21, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. George Mueller said, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There's no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. Faith begins where there's nothing that you can humanly do, and you say, God, I can't do it, it's yours. I think of the last couple weeks, we're obviously been in the process a little while trying to get this bus started, and Brother Davis is doing a great job helping out, Brother Shepherd helping out, doing carrying a lot of it, and I was praying about it the last couple weeks, and God put it on my heart, if you have a bus, but you don't have drivers, it doesn't matter how many people that bus can fit. It doesn't matter if that bus runs or not. I started thinking. I said, man, God, you're right. So I started praying. I said, God, would you give us laborers? God, we need a couple drivers. That week, God put two people on my heart. Boom, two people on my heart. I talked to Brother Shepherd about it. I talked to these people about it. Both of them are like, yeah, I want to do that. Yeah, I'd be interested in doing that. And I was thinking, man, I didn't have much faith. Like, I'm thinking, I don't know if they really want to do that. But God's like, just go ahead and do it. And even though I didn't have as much faith as I should have, I had a little bit of faith. I didn't have a lot, but I had a little bit of faith. But God has given us two new people that are ready to drive the bus, ready to pick up some more kids. You see all those kids that were up here this morning? Man, that was right. Man, what if we could double it? What if we get more than that? But we can't do it without drivers. And I'm just saying, if we'll just believe God at His Word, what can God do in our lives? Jesus has transforming power. There's a troubling problem, and that's unbelief. But third of all, and finally, there is triumphant power. There is triumphant power. Look at verse number 20 of Matthew 17. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. The triumphant power to see God do mighty things is that we will believe that God can do mighty things. It would only make sense that a God that created the entire world can fix our problems. It really makes sense that the God that created the world, that can heal lives, that has changed people, can provide $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 for that parking lot. It only makes sense. You are sitting in a building right now that is a miracle of God. You're sitting in a building right now that is nothing but just a testimony of what God can do. A few years back, this church, some of you were here, met on a Friday night for a banquet like we will be having March 2nd. I hope everybody will be a part of that banquet. It's going to be a great night for our church. We sacrificed, we prayed. I was just a teenager at the time, seeing it all going on. We sacrificed and prayed, and God gave us $80,000 that night, which we praise the Lord for, to the glory of God, $80,000 in cash offerings, commitments, so forth, and so on and so forth. But this building, we needed hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, $80,000 was great, but we needed a whole lot more than that. But God's people just prayed. God's people just believed that, you know what, God wants us to get in that building. We don't have room in the other building. God wants us to get in here. God's people just said, hey, we can do it. By faith, we're just going to trust God. A few days later, there was a check that was given to us by somebody that had hardly any association with this church for over $600,000 to complete this project. I'm saying this. There's triumphant power by having faith. And Jesus cannot give us power if we don't have faith. If you don't believe that God can do works, you're right, He can't. But if you believe that God can do mighty works, you're right, He can. I see faith, letter A, can move mountains. This triumphant power that we talk about can move mountains, and verse number 20 talks about it. When Hudson Taylor, a famous missionary, sailed to China, he heard an urgent knock on his stateroom door. He opened it, and there stood the captain of the ship. Mr. Taylor, we have no wind. We're drifting toward an island where the people are heathen, and I fear they are cannibals. What can I do? Asked Hudson Taylor, as he has not even set foot on the mainland of China yet. All you can do, Mr. Taylor, is pray. Pray that God can do a miracle. 45 minutes later, the wind picked up and then ended up going to mainland China, where Hudson Taylor would start a great missionary movement. Hudson Taylor was a man that prayed. Hudson Taylor was a man that had faith. And Hudson Taylor was a man that moved mountains because he believed that God could do it. God can still move mountains. God can still do great works. But God can't do it if we don't believe. I think about the great work of getting over a stubborn sin in our life. Yeah, I know. It's rough, huh? I've been there. I'm here all the time. Stubborn sin. And we come to church. We go back home and we do it. And we get convicted of it. That's stubborn sin. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's gossip. I don't know. Maybe it's things on the internet. That stubborn sin. We just can't get out of our lives. Like, we're trying. Like, we come here. We say, God, please help me. God, I can't do it. Like, God, we feel guilty about it. We do. We know we shouldn't do it. We know it's against God's word, but we feel guilty about it. That stubborn sin that you just can't get over. Have faith that God can overcome it. Amen. Have faith that God can do it. With God, all things are possible. With faith, you can do it. With faith, you can overcome it, and you can get victory over that. Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above which ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. I'm saying believe that we can overcome these stubborn sins. Believe that we can see people saved. Believe that we can see that family member or that lost person that's just not saved. I think for about many of the high school young people in Calvary Baptist Christian School, I do opening every Thursday. And what we do before we start off our day, for about 10 or 12 minutes, we just meet in room 204 back there, and we share a devotion, we pledge allegiance to the flag, and we have prayer requests. And many of those prayer requests are the same ones day after day, week after week. And many of those are unsaved loved ones, and they are praying by faith that God will save them. And I believe that God will do it if they don't stop. But I'll tell you what happens a lot of times is we get impatient. When I get through a drive-thru, I get real impatient. All right, especially when I got that craving, you know, late night or something. We get impatient, but we have to remember something. If you read the Bible says that 1,000 years to us, to God, is but a day. 1,000 years for us, man, a millennium, that's long. Some young people think your parents are 1,000 years old, but they're not. 1,000 years is but a day. And God says, for God, a day for him is like 1,000 years for us. So maybe we're having faith and maybe we're praying for something. We've been praying for 5 years. And God's like, oh, they've been praying for 7 minutes. They've had faith for 7 minutes. You know what I mean? And it's like, we're like, oh, I've been having faith for 4 years, you're going to overcome it. And God's like, 2.5 minutes? Cool, okay, keep going. And we get impatient with God, but we have to understand that our timetable is different than God's timetable. And we are not told to tell God, hey, do it now, but we are told to have faith that God can do it. I think of people we know that claim to be saved, yet they bear no fruit in their lives. I think of ungodly Christians. I think of people that are in our sphere of influence that they just don't get it. You know what I mean? Like, they just don't get it. It's like, you understand about the importance of church. You understand the importance of Bible reading. You understand these things, but they just don't get it. And it's frustrating. You feel like you're banging your head against the wall. Like, are they ever going to get it? I mean, really, like, come, are they ever going to understand? God can break their heart. God can do the work. Do you believe he can? Do you believe God can do it? My friend, faith moves mountains, but faith will make miracles. God's still doing miracles today, but we have to believe that God can do them. God is still doing them, but we need to understand that God wants to do it in our lives. When your life passes, maybe 5 years from now, maybe 50 or however long, your life comes to an end. Will Jesus look at your life and your life first be Matthew 13:58? And he did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. I wanted to do something in their life. I wanted to use them to change some things. I wanted to change that relationship situation. I wanted to, but I couldn't because they didn't believe. All throughout the Gospels, we see people believed, amazing things happen. Don't believe, nothing happens. I heard one man say this: the difference between faith and doubt is having 1% more faith in God than in your doubts. And I think there's some truth to that. God's calling his people to come back, not to what the New York Times is saying, not to what Fox News is saying, but to come back to the Word of God and see what Jesus says about if I'll just believe him and just have faith in him, that he can do the impossible things in my life. What is God trying to do in us? But he's just waiting for us to believe that he can do it. Tonight, let's be a people of faith so God can use us to make a difference in a powerful way. Let's have a word of prayer together.